Okay. So, every so often, I've been, you know, sharing the Vajra that I get from... Did you ever see these books around, Shlomo? Okay. We had a bunch of them at Or Chaim, right? But this was from Rabbi Price, who was the, like, post-Sick in Toronto from, like, the 1930s to 1990 or something. I don't know, whatever. He was active in Toronto for, like, 55 years or something like that. But he published his books in, like, this very bizarrely huge... all of them are like this. It's unbelievable. But I adapt them every week into English. He often picks up on the Morna Buchim, and I do think that the Morna Buchim he picked up this week and his analysis was, you know, it's worth thinking about, so I'll share some of it, though most of it's really just from the Rambam. Right, Hashem tells Avram right at the beginning that one of the things that's going to be true about him is that that the people who bless you will be blessed and people who curse you will be cursed. Now the Rambam notes that what does that imply quite strongly? Right? And what else? That there are people who are blessing him and cursing him, which means that he had detractors and he had supporters. Right? Which makes sense. Right? Meaning if you sort of follow the, you know, Avram's trajectory, especially as the Rambam plays it up, and the truth is that men in the Midrashim play it up this way, that here he is fighting a certain idolatrous ideology and presenting an alternative. So he has, on the one hand, a nefesh asher asu b'charaan, the people who are his supporters and come to believe in God and follow his path. On the other hand, he has the people who do not, right, support him, which makes sense. If you are an iconoclast and you start, you know, and you are a contrarian and you're starting, right, or the way Chazal describes him, that Avram ha'ivri is called Ivri because kol ha'olam be'ivr achad v'hu be'ivr acher, right? Everyone's on one side of the world and he's on the other, right? So, I mean, it's pretty much shot, right? When Hashem tells him, well, the people bless you will bless, the people curse you will curse, means that the reality he's living through is that he has supporters. Now, of course, you could have said, well, it's not necessarily his religious detractors, right? It could be people like Paro who steal his wife, right? If you don't like him, I mean, right? You could have, but because of the emphasis we talk about in terms of Avram's theological commitments and what he introduces, it makes sense to say that at some level, the people who bless him are those who come to identify with his mission, people like, definitely in Chazal's mind, Malki Tzedek, who come and, what you know, after the battle of the five kings and the four kings, Malki Tzedek comes and gives him food and gives him a bracha, Le'el Elyon, Konei Shamayim Va'aretz, right? So here, right, so what's clear in sort of this scheme is that he introduces theological views, and there are people who don't love it. But what is it that he introduces? So here, the Rambam suggests a few, right, and Rabbi Price here elaborates, but let's sort of see this particular picture of what is it, right? Meaning, again, in Pshat, it's not always clear what he introduced, but through the Midrashim and through the Mefarshim, so what is it that, right, we sort of imagine Avram was the father of. So the Rambam argues that it's not just that there is a God, or one God, right, which is how we sort of think about it, right, that he is the father of monotheism, which is also a misnomer, right, he's not the father of monotheism. Right? Why is he not the father of monotheism?
Because he only had two kids, and monotheism is neither of them's name.
Oh, God. He does not only have two kids, he has many children. He has many kids and three wives in Pshat, two wives according to Chazal. But yes, people forget it.
Yeah.
Yes. Though I do remember once mentioning this to a high school student who said, how am I supposed to know that? I don't know any Parsha in the Torah except for my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. I said, oh, really? What's your Bar Mitzvah Parsha? Chaye Sarah. At which point I banged my head against the wall. I'm like, aha, I see. He was trying to give me a heart attack. But obviously he's not the father of monotheism. He is the one who brought monotheism back in that sense. But Adam was a monotheist. Noah was a monotheist, right? Right? Meaning if you just read, right, the Rambam summary of the world is not that Avram is the first monotheist. It's that Avram brings back monotheism. But okay, monotheism. But the Rambam assumes that there are other things, and he identifies really three. One is not just that there is a God, but that he's the creator God, right? That there's a creation. Now, obviously, for the Rambam, this is important because he's polemicizing against Aristotle, who thinks that the world coexisted with whatever else existed forever, right? The world is eternal, because the Greeks in general don't like the idea of beginnings and creation, right? They don't like zero. They're very into this. They don't like it. They like infinity rather than zero. But also in the Midrashim, this is very important, right? Because all those Midrashim, which you probably learned as kids, right? Which is that Avram looked up at the sky and he said, oh, right, how could it be that there's a world without a creator, right? In the Midrashim, that it's as if a person walked by a palace or a mansion, whatever, and he saw lights in it, and he said, oh, there must be someone, if there's, right, if someone's burning a flame, there must be someone there, right? That sort of theological journey for the Midrash is very central to Avram, and therefore it's not just that he introduced the idea of one God, but a creator God, right? That the world comes from nothing, rather than this idea of an eternal universe alongside whatever divine power or powers you believed in, right? Again, which is shared by many of the idolatrous religions, not all, right? Obviously, some of the idolatrous religions, right, did believe in creation. They just believed in creation by multiple gods, but they still believed in creation. The second is the idea of hashgacha, that God pays attention to the world, right? And again, this is important for the people who are espousing it because they're saying that Rambam represents the anti-deism. Deism is the belief that God created the world and then left, right? That he's not involved in the world, which Avram and all the stories about Avram are very much believing that God is involved, right? Obviously, if you just follow the stories of Avram, I tell them we need to start, despite what Shmuel David likes of keeping the cereal here in the storage room and only bringing it later, that delayed breakfast by 20 minutes, like, you know. I was like, I'm willing to risk that someone breaks into a box of cereal early if it means, you know, starts later. Yeah. But it's hashgacha. You think about Avram's life, right? It's so much of it is not just that there is a God, but that he has a relationship with God, that he listens to God, right? That God tells him things. There's nevuah. Right, so that's obviously also central to it. And the third that he identifies is charvonish, that there are consequences to what you do, which obviously makes sense in the sense that, right, that's part of not only does God communicate, but you have to listen. And right, Price then goes on to prove some of these things, and he says, listen, how do we know that these are the ideas? So as I mentioned from before, when Malki Tzedek, when Malki Tzedek comes and blesses him, he blesses him as now, kone, while it means acquire, often also means to create, right? Those are, right, or one acquires through creating, right? And therefore, if one of his supporters comes and blesses him in the name of God who owns the heavens and the earth, that implies that that's something that Avram stands for. Not just something he happens to believe, but that, right, if someone comes, right, and blesses you by that, right, that implies that that's something you stand for, and everybody knows it, and your supporters, right, when they're going to pick something, right, that's what they're going to pick up, right? Meaning it's like if you praise a soldier for his patriotism, that's because you assume, right, that that's something he stood for, and that's why he put his life on the line, right, for his country, right? It'd be very weird if, you know, when a soldier was coming back from war that you praised him for your love of rock and roll. I mean, it might be true, right? But in this context, that's not, right, that's not what he stands for. How do we know hashgacha? So many of the psukim talk about this as well, where the promises that become central are God's promises, Anochi magen lach, I will be your shield. Right, and this continues with Yitzhak and Yaakov, right, where he promises Yitzhak ve'yeimach and Yaakov anochi imchad u'shmarticha. But the fact that each of the avot get these promises, and that seems to be central to their relationship with God, that God is watching them, means that, right, this is again something that's central to their legacy, is this belief that God is watching them, and is relating to them. And how do we know that he introduces Sarva Onesh? So here he gets a little bit more creative, and he notes that in many of the Midrashim, right, there is this emphasis specifically on mitzvot per se, right? Not just God telling him things, but things like Chazal say that when he denied, he refused to take the payment from and the reward from Melech Sodom, and he said Michut v'yatzrach sochna'al, right? I don't even want a string or anything. What do Chazal read into that? In the merit of that, right, in the merit of turning down the string, he was given the mitzvah of tzitzit. In the merit of turning down a strap, he was given the mitzvah of tefillin. And the fact that at least in Chazal's, right, imagination of it, right, there's this, right, emphasis on, oh, you did this and now we give you mitzvot. And specifically mitzvot, which, you know, tzitzit, which thinks about, right, which reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod and the like, reminds you of the eternity of God, the potential eternity of the soul, right? The fact that there's mitzvot, that's where he gets this idea, that's his, a central belief. So again, I think this basic idea, right, that the Rambam introduces, that if Avram has those who bless him and those who curse him, that tells you that he had things that he stood for and therefore had those who support him and had his detractors. And that you should therefore, once you know that, look through the stories and figure out, well, what are those things he introduced, which for the Rambam are not just the belief in God, but the belief in a creator God, right? The belief proven from the fact that Malki Tzedek blesses him by Konei Shemayim Va'aretz. The fact that he believes in Hashgacha, that God is actually involved in the world based on how many times God promises him and his children, I will take care of you. And his belief in Sarva Onesh, based on especially the midrashic expansions that constantly talk about the reward is Avram's getting, the mitzvot he's getting, which implies a certain idea of consequence, and the like, I think that's an important way to think about Avram because it contextualizes him, right? It's not just what he does, but it's what does he introduce, how do people react, and how does that help you understand the story that surrounds him? Okay.